This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to transactional banking with simple, transparent fees.
It's Monday, the 17th of February, and this is your BizNews briefing. In our lead story today, South Africa's chief rabbi, Warren Goldstein, says Trump is good for South Africa. Goldstein took to his YouTube platform to talk to his view on South Africa's relations with Iran, saying that he believes that the relationship will be detrimental to South Africa's greater national interests.
South Africans should welcome the Trump administration's interventions in our country's affairs. Here is why I say that. What is apparent is the extent to which President Ramaphosa's government is acting against South Africa's national interests by supporting and allying itself with Iran, a violent dictatorship, the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism, a regime that has common cause with the very jihadi groups actively threatening South Africa's security and that of the entire region. By contrast, Israel can and should be a key economic and security ally for South Africa, helping the entire Southern African region defeat the jihadi forces which continue to maim, kill, and terrorize people from Mozambique and across the continent. How can it be in South Africa's national interests to ally with Iran whilst prosecuting Israel at the ICJ? A second point in President Trump's executive order further highlights how President Ramaphosa is acting against the national interests. It is the issue of the new Expropriation Act that allows for the seizure of any fixed or movable property without market-related compensation. This dilution of property rights will increase suffering for millions of the poorest South Africans, because without property rights, there won't be investment. And without investment, there won't be economic growth. And without growth, there won't be jobs. The reality is that governments do not generate economic growth. Private investment does. The fixed investment rate for South Africa sits at around 15% of GDP. It needs to be much closer to 25% and ideally 30% for South Africa to reach the levels of economic growth necessary to quickly bring down our very high rate of unemployment. What the Trump administration is pointing out is actually in South Africa's national interest, because without economic growth, millions of South Africans are condemned to a life of poverty and suffering. But by pursuing policies that ally South Africa with the tyrannies of the world, policies that exacerbate poverty and unemployment, President Ramaphosa is in breach of his most basic constitutional duty, which is, as stated in Chapter 5, Section 222 of the Constitution, and I quote, to advance the Republic. Advancing the Republic means protecting the national interests. True leadership is about service, not power. The purpose of government is to serve the interests of the people. Personal agendas have no place. And this is the South African government's fundamental mistake.
The front runner to become the new U.S. ambassador to South Africa, Joel Pollack, says that South Africa's aggressive stance towards the U.S. will not only impact aid flows, but will have a wider detrimental effect on investment flows towards South Africa. Alec Hogg caught up with him last week.
And the love that could come back from America when you talk about investment into infrastructure, billions of dollars, would that be through aid, which has now been cut off?
No, it would be investment that expects a return. But I think there are so many centers of excellence in South Africa, even in incredibly difficult circumstances, that I don't think it would be difficult for American investors to identify places in which to invest where there'd be an expectation of success. And not just success for American investors, but as you mentioned earlier, jobs for South Africans. There are ideal conditions right now, for example, for some of the new technologies that are being used in green energy in the United States to come into South Africa. The Northern Cape is ideal for solar energy. The Western Cape has hydroelectric. There are all kinds of new nuclear technologies coming online that the United States can build in South Africa. And look, there are also ways of tapping into South Africa's traditional fossil fuel resources and coal can be brought online. I know it's been very tough in South Africa with some of the coal generating plants going offline, even the new ones. But there are places for American investment that can really build South Africa's infrastructure and restore it to where it ought to have been by this point. And look, I'll mention the Olympics again, just because it's a focal point. You know, people debate whether the Olympics are good or bad for a country, but it's really just how you approach them. And if you think about it as just a big sporting event, maybe it is a waste of money and you can end up saddled with debt. But if you think about it as a way of motivating a country to move its infrastructure forward, to improve its public safety, to make sure that its residents are employed, I think it can be a way of motivating South Africans and Americans to work together. So I think there are so many different ways that investment can take place. And South Africa does have a lot to offer, but people aren't going to come into the country and invest if, for example, under BEE regulations, they have to hand over 30% of their company or whatever it is. It's just not going to happen. People may sympathize with South Africa's desire to redress the injustice of the past, but they're not going to subsidize it. And I think South Africa has to make some very fundamental changes before progress can be made.
And you can catch that full interview on BizNews YouTube platform, biznews.tv. Neil De Beer and Chris Steyn sit down every Sunday for a lengthy interview to discuss the politics of the day. And in yesterday's episode, Neil De Beer, the leader of the United Independent Movement, says that the GNU has the ability to change foreign policy to ensure that that foreign policy is aligned with South Africa's national interest.
Can the people in the GNU, can they decide tomorrow in parliament they cut ties with Iran? Yes, they can. It's a foreign policy. Can they decide to resign from BRICS? Yes, they can. Just look at the contract. Can they vehemently deny not to attack Hamas or to attack Hezbollah, but to not support and endorse their actions? Yes, they can. Again, Mr. Lamola, you can issue that instruction. And finally, can we walk away from Iran and conclaves of BRICS, conclaves of every other commitment, and can we cancel our support to the International Criminal Court case that we put against Israel? Yes, we can. Because those matters are not racial, they're not embedded, they're not time-framed, and they're not in the Constitution. Will they? Will they have the balls? Answer, no. Because if the rumor is that they got paid by Iran, someone did, to lay the charge against Israel. I mean, I see that rumor, that allegation 18 times a week. It's not been confirmed. I have not seen the transfer, the EFT, or the bank account. But just go with us. Allegedly, you like that word. Allegedly. Allegedly, we got paid. So then they can't get out, because they voluntarily took it. Let's say they didn't get paid, but they got influenced, which is worse than getting paid, because then you fell for that IQ. They won't withdraw. They will not kick Iran to touch. Number two, they won't leave BRICS. I'll tell you why they won't leave BRICS, because this country actually foolishly thinks within Cyril, Suki Cyril, and I say Travante, ne? I heard him be called a great word, Chris, and I know we're running out of time, but listen to this word. For the first time, I remembered such a glorified word. Someone called Cyril a muhu. He's a muhu. What a word. I am currently investigating the origins of muhu, but let me quickly tell you, if I find it, lovely word. So muhu, Cyril, at this current moment, thinks that it's going to kick America to touch. It's going to let the white Afrikaners that want to leave, leave. And then it's going to replace America and the minorities with China. He thinks that his card up his sleeve is China. Well, let me tell you that is going to go from hot water to a boiling kettle, because China, when they come to your country, they buy and totally take over your culture. So we are just going to be replaced from one major to another. We're going to use the yuan, which is their currency. They're going to bring 450,000 Chinese, and they're going to put up a Chinese mall and a discount drive-through or takeaway, replacing every McDonald's. And if this is what this government is thinking, if this is your train of thought that you are going to change our economic benefit from America to China, India, and a small little bit of coffee from Brazil, dan is jy 'n mugu, and then we are more murtu than what we think. So answer, Chris, this is not America slapping us because there's a racial problem. They're slapping us because our foreign policy is vehemently against their narrative, and that's the problem we are going to have to address.
In the world of business banking, the bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
At Sun Exchange, we make going solar simple, profitable, and completely risk-free. Join over 100 satisfied South African customers already enjoying the benefits of risk-free solar. Start saving today. Visit sunexchange.com and join the solar revolution.
The Special Investigations Unit has uncovered 1 billion rand in fraud in Eskom, and that is related to Eskom's procurement processes. Earlier, I spoke to Calvin Kim, who is the chair of Stratec Global. He's deeply involved in the South African energy landscape, and he had this to say.
It's absolutely disgraceful. You know, really, the criminality, I'm all in favor of now of those people being hunted down and prosecuted and ideally jailed, not just wrapped on the wrist. Now, bear in mind that all of this money is paid for by the people that are paying electricity bills to Eskom, and also by the wider population as well, because suppliers and so on all over have been detrimentally affected by all of this going on. That billion was extracted from the population at large. That's where the money came from. Money doesn't drop out of the sky. So everybody somehow or other ends up paying in. And so it's disgraceful that the taxpayers and the citizens of the country got to foot this bill.
Calvin, the numbers are astounding. I look at the report by the Special Investigations Unit head, Andy Motibi, and he talks to 334 employees within Eskom having direct links to suppliers in the supply chain. And then he talks to a further almost 5,500 Eskom employees that have not disclosed in some way that they are in some way related or have a link to a supplier. I mean, the numbers are just outstanding.
Yes, it's absolutely shocking. And I can well believe that this is a big mafia operation. So somewhere, somebody is the kingpin. There's either one kingpin or there's half a dozen or so that each got their own chain of command, so to speak. So those people particularly should get massive sentences. What this also, of course, leads to is an increase in the electricity price. I'm opposed to the electricity price being increased because all it does is damage the economy of the country, because electricity is the lifeblood of the nation. And when the electricity flows, particularly when it's reliable and inexpensive, then the whole nation works properly. When the electricity price is going up and up and up, it squeezes many people out of business and it does all sorts of damage. I would rather there have not been an electricity price recently and that somehow that money gets absorbed some other way. Now we find out that a billion plus or whatever of it is leaking out the back door. Now, Bronwyn, I happen to have had some personal experience of this. A couple of years ago, I was doing consultancy work for a South African company manufacturing high-tech South African products. There was a tender that came out of Eskom. They tendered. They were clearly the cheapest. They were clearly better in all respects, particularly since it was locally manufactured. Excellent product. They've been on the market for years. They didn't get the tender. There was a whole legal thing faked about double accounting or something, which was shown to be completely untrue. Even the lawyers at Eskom, when we took it to the law department, they said, no, this company was correct, but nevertheless, the tender was blocked and it was sent to somebody else. To make matters worse, I had an informer on the inside who told me that there was actually funny dealings going on. They reported actual words from meetings of what was being said, and it was actually planned on how to eliminate the South African company from the bidding.
Former South African President Jacob Zuma's daughter, Duduzile Zuma, has again been stirring up controversy, this time by swearing at the MK's SG, Floyd Shivambu, on social media. She later apologized in response to a stern letter from her father, Jacob Zuma. But we spoke to, or Christine rather, spoke to Jabulani Khumalo, who is the MK's real founder, who was ousted by the Zumas. Jabulani says that the real hand behind Duduzile Zuma is in fact none other than Jacob Zuma.
The problem is that Duduzile, I don't know how Zuma taught her when she was young. I don't know whether she did teach her the respect. Because from what she did to me, because what she's doing to Shibambo now is exactly what she did to me. It's exactly what she did to other comrades, like the old comrade Marshall Ntabeni and other comrades. They were bad-mouthed by this very same lady. We respect her. That's why we have never attacked her. Because we believe any human being deserves to be honored and respected. But she continuously misbehave, continuously disrespect no one she wants to have around Umkhonto weSizwe as if she's the founder of the Umkhonto weSizwe, when she was not. We just picked her up from her house just to assist her father with administration. That's all we wanted her to do. We gave her the task to do the administration between the organization and the IEC. But her father then took her and gave her other jobs that we never given to her. Those job descriptions now she's doing, we don't know who gave her that position. So that is why she's doing what she's doing, because she did not get this from us or from the right people. Now, to your question as to whether she'll have a good working relationship with Shibambo or not, I would say Duduzile is not working in isolation. Zuma is part of the misbehavior of Duduzile. Zuma gives instructions to Duduzile. Let me say why I'm saying that. When Zuma has to deal with you, he doesn't deal with you direct. He finds ways to find somebody to do the dirty things against you. Then he comes in as if he's a mediator. When he's not a mediator, he's part of the foundation of whatever is happening at the time. So Zuma is part of Duduzile's problem against Shibambo. He wants to deal with Shibambo because he doesn't believe that Shibambo is going to do what he wants. Shibambo is coming up with his own understanding and political vision. But Zuma doesn't like that. Because if Shibambo is implementing something that Zuma doesn't like, Zuma will not tell Shibambo direct. He would want to do a dirty way of doing it. And then that's what he's doing now. That's why Duduzile is so crazy doing whatever he's doing to Shibambo. But clever Zuma, he goes out and say, no, you must apologize to Shibambo. Fooling us, trying to, I don't know what he's trying to do, but it's all his Zuma's making what is happening right now. Duduzile is insulting people because Zuma has asked her to do that. It's an instruction from Zuma.
You can catch that full interview on our YouTube platform, biznews.tv. That brings us to the end of today's BizNews briefing. We'll be back tomorrow with more local and global context. Thanks again for watching.
This BizNews briefing is brought to you by Investec Business Banking. Make the move to finance solutions that enable real growth.